Welcome, everyone, and may God bless each of you greatly. Welcome to the program called Expanding Your Mind with the Word of God. My name is Samuel Cedillos, and I am the host of this program. I send you my best regards from Los Angeles, California. Before I start, I want to apologize to those who downloaded the intro or the trailer for this program and ended up being in Spanish. I accidentally uploaded the wrong one, but I have been able to upload the right one, so hopefully that problem is fixed, and I thank you for your patience. Now, let's get started. This first episode will be called The Need for a Redeemer. Even though I'm still a little bit nervous, I feel like I'm getting the hang of it. And I do all of this for the glory of my King, Jesus Christ. And I ask you that you learn with me as we study the Word of God. And before starting, I would like to pray so it could be God guiding us. Blessed God of glory, first of all, I thank you for this great opportunity to be able to preach your word through this way of communication. I put myself completely aside and maybe you taking over. Maybe you using this vessel that is nothing to be able to preach your word how it's written, O Lord. And maybe your Holy Spirit touching each and every single person that is able to listen. This is all for your glory, my Lord. I dedicate this program to you and only you. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Now, there are many people who say, why do I need Jesus Christ? They also say that they already believe in God or believe that God exists and they don't need to go to church if they believe that God exists. They also say, I'm good. I don't drink. I don't smoke. I only have a wife and I take care of my parents. I don't try to fight with anyone. And there are people who try to justify how they live in their own way, and others just say that God doesn't exist. In Psalms 14, 1-3, in the New King James Version, it says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looks down from the heaven upon the children of the men, to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. They have all turned aside. They have together become corrupt. There is no one who does good. No, not one. The word of God also says in James 4:17, therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is a sin. But if no one is good, does that mean that no one will be saved? Not at all. Because our God has given us a way out of the condemnation of sin. But first, let's answer the first question. What is sin? Sin is a willful and conscious transgression of divine law. In the book of Romans, Paul writes to the church of Rome talking about the consequences of sin and describes some sins by name. In Romans 1:28-31, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a debased mind, to do things which are not fitting. Being filled with all unrighteousness, sexual immorality, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, evil-mindedness, they are whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, violent, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, undiscerning, untrustworthy, unloving, unforgiving, unmerciful, who know the righteous judgment of God, that those who practice such things are deserving of death, not only do the same but also approve of those who practice them. All of this applies not only to whom Paul is describing, but to everyone who know who God is but still decides to sin. They turn their backs on God and decides to do what is wrong. Now that we have a small idea of what exactly is sin, we must answer another question. Well, another two. When did sin start and why are we guilty of sin? But to know that, we have to go to where it all began, in the creation. In the book of Genesis, chapter 1 tells us how God made all of creation, from the heavens and the earth, all the animals of the earth and the fish of the sea. We are not going to dive too much into creation because it's going to be a topic for another day with more details if I can. God created everything, including the animals, before creating male and female. The Bible says that on the evening of the sixth day, everything was done. And on the seventh day, God sanctified it and rest. Now, let's look at the creation of man more closely. In Genesis 2:7, it says, "Then the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." The first man created was called Adam. The name of Adam comes from the word Adama in Hebrew, which means earth, because from the earth he was taken. God made man in his image, but not as in the form of God, but made him in his image of having the ability to think freely. What does that mean? It means that we as humans are not like the animals that follow natural laws. Animals follow certain laws in order to find food and a place to rest. Let's take a bird as an example. In its natural laws, it gets up and goes to look for food. Those that are female begin to look for things to make their nests to lay their eggs. Meanwhile, the males try to mate with the females. Their natural law only focuses on surviving and multiplying. Now it's different for humanity. God created us to be able to think freely. If you look at the history of humanity, we see that as the ages passed, the knowledge of man grew. You may have heard that sometimes you can do something in different ways, because each human is different. And thanks to our God who made us in his image, we have been able to advance humanity. Now, imagine if all the animals were created like humans. It would be a very chaotic place here on Earth. It would be like those movies that we know about the Planet of the Apes. But the only difference would be that we would be against all the other animals. Although there are animals that are intelligent and can sometimes copy us, God made us humans unique and only gave us to rule over the animals. After God created Adam, God made a place to put him. And the place is called the Garden of Eden. In Genesis 2, verse 8 through 14, the Bible describes what the Garden of Eden was like. The Bible tells us that God planted the Garden of Eden in the east and placed Adam there. It also tells us that in the garden, God made every tree grow from the earth, delicious to look at and good to eat. Imagine a place with all your favorite fruits from a tree. Now imagine that all these fruits were ripe and just ready to eat. You have to remember that at this moment, there was no sin. And because there was no sin, there was no death. And because there was no death, it meant that fruit could not rot. This implies that if we were in the Garden of Eden, and any time that we decide to pick our favorite fruit to eat, it will be perfect and ripe, just ready for you to devour it. It also tells us that in the center of the garden, there were two trees, the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. A river came out of Eden to irrigate the garden, and it was divided into four different rivers. And from those four rivers, there are still two rivers that run today. Those two rivers are the Euphrates River and the Tigris River. Well, now that we know where the man is, let's see why God put him there. And that question is answered in Genesis 2:15. We are told that God put man in the Garden of Eden to till it and keep it. The ordinances that God gave Adam was to he could eat of all the fruits in the garden. But he could not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. At that time, Adam's thinking was different from the thinking we have today. It can be said that Adam at this time had the innocence of a child, so bad thoughts and sins did not exist. God also said that if he ate the fruit, he would certainly die. He didn't mean it as an instant death, but the way that God meant it was if he would have eaten the fruit like he did, death would enter. But as you know, Adam didn't know that. God says that it was not good for man to be alone, For this reason, he brought him all the beasts, the birds of the sky, and the cattle of the field so that he could give them a name, and to see if there was one who could be a suitable helper for him, but there wasn't. For this reason, he made him fall into a deep sleep and took one of his ribs. And from the ribs he made the woman, and brought her to Adam. And he told him that she was going to be called a woman because she was taken from a man. Now, why did God make the woman from Adam's rib? I like how Matthew Henry commentary says when he explains why the woman was created from the rib of the man. It says that the woman was created from a rib of Adam. It was not made from his head so as to have dominion over him, nor from his feet to be trampled by him, but from his side to be equal to him, from under his arm to be protected, and from next to his heart to be loved. We also look at the end of chapter 2 in verse 24 and 25. It tells us that when God made man and woman, it was so they would be together as one flesh. Here, the marriage between man and woman were established. And as I explained before, even though they were both naked, they were not ashamed because they still had the veil of innocence over them. Everything up to this point is fine, it's good. The Bible does not specify how long Adam and Eve spent together in the garden, but something happens after a while that changes the future of humanity forever. The Bible says that in the garden, there was a snake that was cunning. And it says that the snake asked the woman, "So God has told you, do not eat of every tree in the garden?" She replied, "Yes, we could eat from the trees of the orchard. But the tree of good and evil, God said, you will not eat from it, nor will you touch it, so that you do not die." The serpent said, "You will not die. But God knows the day you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." One may wonder, how is it possible for a serpent to think like this? Well, in the book of Revelation 12:9, it tells us, "And the great dragon, the ancient serpent, called the devil and Satan, who deceives the entire world, he was cast down to earth and his angels were cast down with him." The Bible describes Satan or the devil as the ancient serpent. Thus, Satan, in the form of serpent, tempted Eve. Maybe he waited for her to be away from Adam and waited for her to be alone so the serpent could start a conversation with her. When he asked her if God had told her not to eat of all the fruit, he was making her think and even doubt God's commandment. It was not that he did not know God's commandment, it was that at that moment with a little doubt, he knew he could deceive Eve. Remember, the tree of good and evil was in the middle of the garden next to the tree of life. Perhaps the snake told her, "If God lets you eat from the tree of life, that is next to the tree of good and evil, why can't you eat from both?" Or maybe even ask, "If God didn't want you to eat the fruit, why did he even make the tree in the first place?" The Bible doesn't really specify, it only tells us the moment of when she was deceived. To get a better insight or try to open up and understand a bit more, the historian Flavio Josephus in the book of Antiquities of the Jews tells us this about the snake. "But while all the other animals spoke the same language in those times, the serpent, who lived with Adam and his wife, envied them that they were happy living in obedience to God's commandment." And we just learned that the Bible refers to Satan as the ancient serpent. And we'll see what happens to him a bit later. But at this moment, we see in Genesis 3:6 that the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and it was desirable to gain wisdom, and she took of its fruit and ate it and gave it to the husband. I have to clarify that many people today believe that the forbidden fruit was an apple, but the Bible does not say that. We only know that it was a fruit that was pleasing to the eyes. We also have to clarify that at no time the snake ever forced Eve to take the fruit. It only antagonized her until she decided to eat it. I could easily imagine that maybe after she ate the fruit, Adam got there and he gave her some. Well, she gave him some to eat. Or maybe before she started eating of the fruit, or after she took a bite of the fruit, she went to Adam and says, "Look, I eat the fruit. I have not died." And maybe for that reason, perhaps Adam also ate. Like I said, we really don't know. We only know that in the end, they both ate of the fruit. Next, we see the consequences of disobeying God. It says that as soon as they ate the fruit, their eyes were open and knew they were naked. And fig leaves were sewn as aprons so they could wear and cover themselves. And when they heard the voice of God, it says, walking in the garden, it says they hid from the presence of God. God asked, "Where are you?" And he answered, "I heard your voice and I was afraid because I am naked and I hid." When it says that the eyes were open, they were not the eyes of the flesh, but the eyes of conscience. Because until now, for them being naked was not a bad thing. A good explanation is found in Matthew Henry's biblical commentary that says, God had become something terrifying for them. Their own conscience accused them and put sin before them in their own colors. Knowing they were guilty, they did not struggle to endure a trial, but hid to flee from justice. God already knew what happened, but he still asked them, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I told you not to eat?" Adam said that the woman gave him some of the tree and he ate. When Eve was asked, she said, "The serpent deceived me and I ate." However, because they both had disobeyed God, God punished everyone. He told the serpent that he would be cursed among all the beasts and among all the animals of the field, that on his belly he should go and he shall eat dust for all the days of his life. And God put enmity between the serpent and the woman, and between the seed of both. They will bruise the head of the serpent, and the serpent will bruise the heel. He said to the woman, "I will greatly multiply the pains in your pregnancy. With pain you will give birth to children, and your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you." To the man he said, "For listening to your wife and disobeying, curse will be the ground because of you. With pain you will eat it for all the days of your life. Thorns and thistles shall bring forth for you, and you will eat herbs of the field. With the sweat of your face you will eat bread until you return to the earth, because from it you were taken. For thus you are, and to thus you shall return." God hath given humanity a great gift, and that is free will. Your own personal will to think for yourself and do what you want. The sin of them was disobeying God and eating the fruit. God had given them everything. Everything in the garden, dominion over all the animals, but he only had one commandment. And because they ate the fruit and disobeyed God, the consequences now and the result of disobeying God is now that they knew the difference between good and evil. Now knowing that it was a sin and things could be a sin, it was possible that they could in the future sin against God. Because now that they know that there's good and evil, they were no longer innocent before God. Having learned the difference between good and evil, the presence of God that covered them and kept them well turned away from them. Now, as the presence of God or the protection of God no longer covered them, it was possible for Satan to throw darts at them to try to make them sin even more. We see a great example of the first murder, like how Cain killed Abel. That's all due to sin, like we see stuff today, nowadays in the world. Now, we see that God had made his sentence, and because Adam was the first human and parents of humanity, he affected everything that came after him. In the garden, Adam and Eve had everything easily, but because of their disobedience, they were now going to suffer. We see that our kids inherit our DNA, and in a way, all that came after Adam had that sin already in them. Because he's the father of humanity, this is where the sin entered in the world. This is why things are the way they are today, with so many bad things happening, people committing atrocities, the murders, all the evil in the world, because sin had entered the world. I could guarantee you that if sin never had entered the world, things would not be the way they are, and there would be nobody suffering, nobody that's sick, nobody that's in pain, and nobody's dying. But that's not how the things went. And because of this sin, all humanity was separated from God. You see Satan in the form of serpent. You see, Satan is already sentenced. But you and me are not sentenced yet until the moment we die. Satan didn't like that Adam and Eve were close to God because he used to be one of God's favorite angels. But because he was already sentenced, he wanted Adam and Eve to also be sentenced to death. Now let's talk a little bit about Satan. The Bible tells me that Satan, who was known as Lucifer, he was an angel of God who had free will, like me and you. But he wanted to be like God, so he rose up against God, and he and the angels who followed them were cast out. You see, he's already sentenced, and he wanted Adam and Eve to have the same sentence. But because of that, all of humanity now has sin. But even though they had disobeyed God, God still had mercy on them. And we see in verse 21 that God made man and his wife some tunics of skin and dressed them. These tunics were much better than the aprons they had made from the leaves of the fig tree. The leaves of the fig tree are a little larger than the leaves of a regular tree, and they wouldn't be able to cover much. They were just hiding their shame. They didn't provide any protection against the elements in any way. We see later on that the Lord God says, "Behold, the man is like one of us, knowing good and evil. Now, therefore, let him not stretch out his hand and also take of the tree of life and eat it and live forever." God already knew that the heart of humanity would go towards evil because they knew the difference between good and evil. They could grasp the idea of taking the fruit of life and eating of his fruits so they would never die. The sentence of God humanity with the sin, it also came death. Because before, if they would have never sinned, death would have never entered into the world. But God already knew all the things that were possible. And he knew once the humans fail, having that knowledge of sin in their hearts, it will go towards evil. Let's get an example, yeah? We all know the story of Noah's Ark, that God had repented of creating mankind because of the wickedness and sins of men. Now, if the tree of life was available to them, surely they would eat it if they had the chance, so they could never die. Like one desire of many great people who'd conquer lands and people that we read in history books, what is their desire? Or even desire of people today to not die, to live forever. So if that tree was available even in those days or even in these days, I'm pretty sure everybody will be going on top of each other fighting to try to get a fruit so they won't die. Now we see that God commanded Adam to work the land in a way to keep him humble. Thus working the land, he could remember the sentence of God that he was going to return to the land one day. We see that God put a cherubim and a flaming sword that turned to all sides to guard the tree of life after taking out Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden. This is where the great division between God and man came. All mankind was separated from the glory of God. Man used to walk in the glory of God. He walked with God. He talked with God. He was close to God. But because of the disobedience, all of us were separated from his glory. In Romans 3:23, it says, "Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Adam being the father of mankind, the sin of his disobedience fell on all of us. Since we were born, this sentence of death is upon us. The moment we lose our innocence and know the difference between right and wrong is when we are guilty of sin. The Bible tells me in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." Us, having our own will, we decide to do either good or evil. But someday we will be judged for it. And God's judgment is already written. It already says in His word what's going to happen to each one of us depending on the way that we live our lives. In the end, the decision is always yours, but the judgment is already written. It also, let me remind you of the first scripture that I said in Psalms 14:3, all have gone astray. Together they have been corrupted. There is no one who does good. There is not even one. It's saying that basically by our own merits, we're not going to be saved. There's only one way through salvation, and that is through Jesus. In the next episode, I'm going to get into God's old form of redemption, but I can't finish this episode without saying this. God made a way out for all of humanity, and this salvation is free for those who want to take it. Jesus Christ came to die for our sins. He was a perfect sacrifice, being a man, but still being God. He came and died for us. For us who are bad, who are guilty, who do not deserve salvation. In His great love and mercy, He wants to save all of us. Today I invite you to meet Jesus Christ. It's not to join a religion, because religion won't save you. Religious practices will not save you. It's a communication or a relationship with the living God. He loves you. He wants to save you. He wants to improve your life. He wants to set you free from those bonds of death. It doesn't matter who you are or what you've done. He loves you and gave His life for you. If you want to accept Jesus, the Bible tells us in Acts 16:31, they said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved, you and your family. That means that the blessing of God will not only cover you, but also your family. It's not mandatory, but if you have it in your heart to accept Jesus Christ, I want you to repeat after me. Thank you, God, for sending Jesus to die for me on that cross. I ask your forgiveness for all my sins, and I repent of all my offenses that I have committed against you. Come and enter my heart. I accept you as my one and only Lord and Savior. Write my name in the book of life. In your hands I put myself, Lord. Do as you want with me. In your holy name, in the name of Jesus, amen. It's that simple. It's your first step. If you have received Jesus, I want to say welcome to the family. Although I do not know you, God does know you. But through Him, we are brothers and sisters. The path that follows is not easy, but the reward that awaits us is greater than you can imagine. Even if you fail at the beginning and fall, do not stop. Get up and keep walking, because God is not going to let you go. You may let go of God and turn your back on Him, but He won't do that to you. He'll never let you go, and He'll be with you until the end of your days if you allow Him. Now, there's sometimes we feel guilty, but I want you to know that the price of your sins, it's paid for. Your sins of yesterday, your sins of today, and your sins of tomorrow, they are all paid for. All you have to do is repent and come unto God and tell Him what you've done, and He'll be ready to forgive you. Jesus has His arms wide open, just waiting for you to come to Him. So let's end this episode for today. Let's pray. God, I give you all the glory that you deserve, O Lord Almighty. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for this word. I leave everything in your hands. May you be giving strength to those who need it. May you be comforting those souls who need it and feel alone. May you bring peace to those who feel anxiety, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you. Please watch over every single person that has listened to this podcast. Amen. If you want to greet me or share your testimony with me, you can email me at expandingyourmind2022@gmail.com, or you can follow the link that I will leave in the video description. I also ask that you be patient with me, because I am still learning. I never thought of doing this until God had put it in my heart. So if He wants me to do it, I'll gladly do it for Him. And all the glory will always belong just to Him. Now, my brothers, sisters, and to all my friends who are listening, and to everyone else, God bless you, and I'll see you in the next episode.